Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. I feel like preaching this morning. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. You can't brag about it. Nobody can run around bragging, I got myself in. Lord, I got this. I'm going to do a whole bunch of good stuff to get to heaven. God's got it fixed. Where if you get to heaven, you get there by grace. Nobody get there by praying, reading their Bible, none of that stuff. You pray and read your Bible because you're saved. Amen? That's right. It's so no man can boast. Nobody can brag about it. Nobody goes around bragging, I got here on my own. No, you didn't. Your mom and daddy brought you here. Amen? You didn't get here by yourself. You was born here. And that's the same way it is being saved. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Hopeless, complete, utter hopelessness without God. But now in Christ Jesus are ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I like this next verse. For he is our peace. Not only does he give us peace, he is our peace. Who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. That's all I'm going to read this morning. I know I read a little bit more than I normally do. But I wanted to get to the point that I want to preach on. I'll preach this morning on this subject, once upon a time. Once upon a time. Now I want you to notice here in our passage, if you'll notice that several times it mentions in past times. It talks about the past tense. Look at verse number 2. It said, wherein time passed. In verse number 3, it said, your conversation in times past. Look on down to verse number 11, that ye being in times past. Verse number 12, that at that time ye were without Christ. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. There's five different places in this passage, in the holy inspiration of Scripture that the Holy Ghost had put in this passage, that it's talking about in times past. I'm talking about once upon a time, a long time ago. It may have been last week, maybe been 2 weeks ago, maybe 6 months ago, might have been a year ago, maybe 15 years ago. But for me, it's been 37, 38 years ago that God saved my soul. Amen. Honest. My first point is this. In times past, once upon a time. Once upon a time, I'm not talking about a fairy tale. I'm talking about salvation. Once upon a time, first of all, I was dead. I once was dead. It tells us here that we were dead in sins. Hey, brother, we were hopeless and lifeless. Hey, we're not talking about Pinocchio. We're not talking about Snow White. We're not talking about Sleeping Beauty and Rapunzel waiting for somebody to come and say, Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. I'm talking about a real story. And you know, at the end of those fairy tales, they're saying they lived happily ever after.
Well, that's true in this story, brother, because I'll tell you, once upon a time, there was something happened to me, amen, and you too, if you're saved, amen, this is not Mother Goose or Disneyland or Peter Pan, amen, I once was dead, I was blind, I was defiled, I was lifeless, I was beyond help, but that one verse there said, but God. Oh, I want you to know, brother and sister, I was just as dead as any dead cadaver down at the hospital or the funeral home could possibly be in the spiritual sense. Hey, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Hey, brother, listen, a dead man knows nothing. The Bible even tells us that. The dead know nothing. You can drive down at the graveyard tonight and pull up in there and toot the horn, and you can talk to them people, and you can say, how many of you people's out there? And they won't answer your word because they're dead. That's the way I was before I got saved. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And you know why I was dead? I was lifeless because I was bloodless. I had no blood coursing through my veins. I was a stranger to the Almighty God. Amen. I was an outcast, a stranger, and a pilgrim. I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about church. I knew nothing about the holy things of God. I grew up in church and heard preaching. I'd been to church services. I'd been to Bible school and revival. I'd heard some of the best preaching in the world, but I knew nothing about God because I was a dead man. I was a dead man walking. Hey, these kids talk about these movies about zombies and all that stuff. That's exactly what I was, brother. I didn't have any life in me. And listen, it was a pitiful, pitiful. My night life was like the night of the living dead. I was dead to the things of God. Amen. I was dead to preaching. I was dead to spiritual things. I was dead to everything that had to do with anything about God. Amen. But something happened to me one night in November 1978. Something happened to me. Amen. Something happened to me. It was not an epiphany, and it wasn't turning over a new leaf, and it wasn't changing direction, so to speak. Listen, I didn't get religion. I didn't get a church experience. I didn't receive spirituality. I got saved, brother. I mean, I got born again. I got regenerated. I got blood washed, blood bought, adopted, reborn. I got an extreme makeover. Amen, brother. The Bible said here, in times past. I want you to know, brother, I'm not living in the old days no more. I used to be an ungodly, wicked, rebellious. I mean, a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. I was running after sin as hard as I could go. But God, one day, once upon a time, God saved my never-dying soul. God took me from the depths of sin. Have you ever read over there about Jeremiah where he's down in that pit of slime and clay? Down in that pit. I mean, he was in a mud bucket. I mean, he couldn't get himself out, and somebody had to go down in there and get him and lift him out. That's exactly what happened to me that night when Jesus came back where I was and lifted me out. It's like the song we're singing, love lifted me. Thank God, that's a true thing. If there's ever been a truth spoken, that is the truth this morning. I'll tell you what happened to me. I mean, it's after all these years, I want to tell you something, brother. It's something special. God kicked a keg of honey over in the backyard of my soul, brother. I mean, I know y'all have heard it till you're sick of hearing it, but I mean, I was just a low down, worthless bum of a sinner, dead in sin, going to hell like a bullet. And God saved me. And boy, the joy started bubbling up in my soul. And I want to tell you something, brother. After nearly 40 years, it's still there. The joy of the Lord is still there. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, is still in my soul. I still go to sleep at night without any trouble. I still have the joy of God. I still have the assurance. I still know that my name is written down in glory. Amen. Preach on, preacher. Some of you sitting there like your mother-in-law moved in with you, but I want to tell you something. Once upon a time, I got saved. Thanks to Calvary. It was an earth-shaking, wind-rattling, life-changing experience. It's like an earthquake took place in my heart. Amen. I remember it, brother. Don't you remember the day you got saved? I mean, it's like I got zapped. It's like I got hit by lightning. Y'all ever seen that old movie? Sergeant York is riding through the woods drunk, riding on his old mule, and lightning hit him. Hit him so hard, knocked his mule out, knocked the shoes off his mule. He went straight down to the church house and got saved. God bit busy for that old boy, didn't he? Well, I'll tell you what, the night I got saved, brother, when I got down and prayed and I got back up off my knees, I knew something big took place, buddy. I knew something major had took place. For the first time in my life, I laid down in the bed and I didn't toss and turn and roll around the bed. And the fear was gone, and the guilt and the shame and the worry and the dread, all that was gone. All of it was gone. I went to sleep for the first time in my life, brother. I became alive. Oh, brother, listen. I'll never forget. I know I told it before. I mean, I went out on the porch and looked up, and I saw the stars for the first time because I'd been dead all that time. And I came to life. Blood started coursing through my veins. I mean, God brought me to life that night. Thanks to Calvary. Listen, there's joy in serving Jesus, people. I don't understand why. I guess people's got so much of the world in their life, I guess. But I don't understand why we believe when we get to heaven we're going to leave with a shout. And when we get to heaven we're going to shout and praise His name and lay crowns at His feet. But we sit around like a bunch of wooden Indians. Ain't that right? Baptists are pathetic. Baptists used to shout, brother. Baptists used to shout and run the aisles and glorify the darling Lamb of God. But now we act like we're ashamed of it, like it's something terrible. I want to tell you something. If your kid was pitching in the World Series, you'd be shouting your lungs out.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, we was watching the young ladies World Series, college World Series softball here a while back, and some of them parents, they'd flew out to Oklahoma, I believe it was, and stayed out there for a couple weeks. I told Debbie, I said, how does anybody afford that for one thing? I would go if I could. If Candace was playing, I'd go. And some of us make a spectacle out of themselves. But I'd have done it too. I'd have done the same thing. I remember one time we went to a rodeo, and Candace got out there and came in second place wrestling a goat to the ground. She went out there, and I mean, if it hadn't been for him, she'd have won. First place, went and went out there in a little overhauls and her hat on, her camouflage hat, grabbed that billy goat and slammed him on the ground. Ah, like that, and I was screaming and hollering. It embarrassed Ronnie and his girlfriend. They got it moved. I said, if that was your youngin' out there, if that was your kid out there doing that, you'd have done the same thing. Call her name out over the loudspeaker. I think she won a slushy cone or something. $10. Wow, big time. Here's what I'm saying, brother. We believe in shouting over everything else in this ungodly, sin-cursed world, but we're going to glory one of these days. And we sit around and act like we got a staph infection, brother. We ought to be praising God. There's joy in this thing, brother. We ought to shout a little bit once in a while. I think about that song I used to hear when I was a kid, and it said, today I went back to the place where I used to live. It said my little boy ran and hid behind the door. That little boy remembered when daddy was a drunk and used to slap mama around and didn't have no food in the house. The house was empty, cobwebs everywhere. And the daddy calls the little boy out and says, son, come here. You don't have to worry now.
Amen.
Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here no more.
That's right.
Woo! Thanks to Calvary, I don't do the things I used to do. Thanks to Calvary, I don't go the places that I used to go. Thanks to Calvary, thank God there's somebody different living way down deep inside of my soul. And I want to tell you, brother, once upon a time, Jesus passed by and made a difference in my life. I'm going to tell you, if Jesus hadn't made a difference in your life, you hadn't met him yet. You just think you have. You just think you have. Somebody's fooled you. Amen. we were dead. Secondly, I want to say we were walking in the wrong direction. Verse 2 said, we're in time, Pastor, you walked according to the course of this world. Why do people live the way they do? They're dead and they're going in the wrong direction. Amen? I was going my own way. I was doing my own thing. I did what I wanted to do. Some people doing that even after they're saved. They're doing their own thing. That's why God can't use them. That's why, son, there's probably somebody sitting here. God could do mighty things in your life if you just submit to Him and give yourself over to Him, but you won't do it. Self-denial is the number one problem in people's lives. I was going my own way. The Bible said there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Everybody's got their idea of what they think's right. I'm going to go this way because this is what I want to do, and this is what I think's best for me. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, the Bible said. The way of man's a selfish way. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Proverbs 21:2. The way of man is a strange way. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. Proverbs 21:8. The way of man is a strange way. People do some strange things. I was just talking about it a while ago. People are strange. People let their kids decide whether or not they want to go to church, but make them go to school. Make them go to the doctor and make them go to the dentist. Strange, man. Strange. I never let my kids make that decision. You're going to church. You're going to school. You get old enough to work, you're going to work. People are strange, man. People care more about their animals than they do their kids. Amen. People strain. It's a searching way. That's why drugs and alcohol and illicit sex and fame and fortune, that's what all that's all about, because people's looking and searching. Everybody wants to be famous. I want to be a star. I want my name to be up in lights. You still won't be happy. You still won't find what you're looking for. You never find it that way. Happiness, contentment, and joy and peace can't be found in fame and riches. Or Solomon would have found it. Solomon didn't find it. He died backslid out of the will of God, following after strange gods. Is that the truth? Am I preaching right? Yes. Solomon's the richest man ever lived. Thousands of beautiful women around him. He partied all the time. And they wasn't bad women either. They wasn't these skanks that somebody else had already had. Y'all with me? Is everybody still with me? I'm preaching now. It's a searching way. And the Bible said it's a short way. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. Job said the candle of the wicked shall be put out. Sin will shorten your days. I preached it my whole life, and I preach it and preach it and preach it. People still go out and do it. They do their own thing, do it their own way. I'm going to live my own life. There ain't no preacher, nobody, God or the Bible, nobody going to tell me what to do. That's fine. You have your right to do what you want to do, but you'll still pay. You'll shorten your day. Sin will shorten your life. It's a short way. You're going the wrong direction. Hey, anybody, if you want to get out on an interstate and drive the opposite direction, that's your privilege. You can do that. But you won't do it for long. You'll either get arrested or you'll get killed. One or the other. Same applies spiritually. You can go the wrong way against God. Our country's been doing it now for about this whole generation's been doing it. And look at the mess we're in. America started out as a God-fearing nation set up on godly principles. Our first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, said this. He said, we ought to elect nothing but Bible-believing Christians to be Supreme Court justices. That's what he said. Now look at the mess we're in. Now they're voting to legalize same-sex marriage and all this stuff, killing babies inside their mother's womb, keeping them alive long enough to sell their body parts like you're at a salvage yard, at a junkyard or something. We're crazy. We're a nation of backslidden idolaters. Amen. You know it's right. It's a short way and it's a sad way. Listen, the way of man, brother and sister, you'll walk in your own direction. And that's what I was doing. And I told my wife the other night, I said, you know what? I was doing my own thing and I was having a little bit of fun for a while. But the fun ran out. It quit being fun. But what you don't understand is when the fun runs out, sin has you in its hooks. You can't just lay it down. Every man in here, maybe a few women, there's several men in here that I know has been hooked on drugs and alcohol and stuff, and it's a miracle you're sitting here. It's a miracle you're sitting here. We joke about it, but it's a miracle we're here. A lot of the guys I used to run around with, some of them's dead. Some's in nursing homes at my age. They ain't even in existence. They're on disability and all that junk at my age. Can't even function. Here I am out here preaching like a with all this energy, they can't even function because of all them drugs and alcohol, sleeping with all them wild women. God didn't make your body for that. You defile the temple, God will turn it over to the devil and let him destroy it. That's good preaching, preacher. Number three, not only that, but number three, we were devil-led, verse 2. And he said, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, we were devil-led, the devil-led, devil-dominated, devil-controlled, Jew or Gentile, there's no discrimination. Jesus told him, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Lost people have the spiritual DNA of their father, the devil. Now, preacher, I don't like that, preacher. That's being harsh because I have some lost loved ones and they're not bad people. They're good people. But they're still children of the devil until they get born again. I know what you're saying. I know some good lost people. I mean, they're good, moral, decent, hardworking citizens that contribute to society. But if they don't get saved, they'll plunge right into hell with all the child molesters and rapists and murderers and terrorists. They'll go straight to hell with the rest of them. Hey, I mean, hell don't know any distinction. Are you with me? Devil led. Listen, before I got saved once upon a time, whatever the devil wanted me to do, that's what I did. We was laughing about it yesterday. Somebody else, we was joking around about how our mamas, I believe Brother Jeff, my mama said, she said, Ronnie, I said, well, the rest of them do it. She said, well, if they're jumping off a cliff, would you go jump too? Yeah, I would, and I did. We used to go down to the rock quarry and jump in, go in down there swimming. That's how stupid we were. We go down and get about half liquored up and doped up and go jump off that thing. We wouldn't dare do it sober. There ain't nobody in the right mind to try it. It's over. How I could have got killed diving off in there and them junk cars laying at the bottom of that lake. Crazy. Devil led. The devil leads you to do that stuff. People in churches are led by the devil. Listen, the devil leads people to do some of the things they do. The Bible said, Jesus said, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. It's the devil that leads a woman to have an affair on her husband. It's the devil that leads a man to run around on his wife. It's the devil that leads people to get out of the house of God. It's the devil. You watch any of these TV shows and they make having an affair look so attractive. Oh, it just looks so adventurous. Oh, it looks good. Oh, you're having an affair. But boy, they don't show you the end result of how destructive it is. How it ruins families. All those beer commercials. All those liquor commercials. They don't show the destruction and the mayhem it brings to your family. Once upon a time, I was devil-led. And I want to tell you something, people. I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for the grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, you'd still be led around by the devil by the nose yourself, and I would too. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace, I'd still be being led around by the devil this morning on this Sunday morning. Used to Sunday mornings, I was getting over a drunk. And I know everybody ain't been a drunk and everybody ain't been a drug addict. But I'll tell you, if you got saved when you was 8 years old, you're still going to the same hell as the rest of us. Ain't you glad that once upon a time it's behind you? Thank God you're not going to a place called hell and you don't have to be led by the devil. Once upon a time, I was led by the devil. Everything I did was what the devil wanted me to do. Listen, you ain't got but two masters. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. Number four, they were, once upon a time, we were disobedient. And verse 2 said, the children of disobedience.
We were just outlaws. Just plain old rebellious outlaws. No subjection, no obedience, no compliance to nothing. Children of disobedience. All of us dead and going to hell without Christ. Disobedient to the God of heaven. Disobedient to the Bible. I'm not saying everybody's not saved. It's disobedient to the law of the land. And I'm not saying they're lawbreakers. And I'm not saying they're convicted felons. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about disobedient spiritually speaking. They're going against the laws of God by not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because spiritually they have that Adamic nature. And they're lost. You with me? They're children of disobedience. I'm not going to go God's way. I'll find another way. It's what our country's been doing. It's what families do. Families get in trouble. A man and his wife starts having marital problems. What's the first thing they do? Go to a carnal, godless, God-denying marriage counselor. An atheist that don't even believe in God. When they ought to go to a church, to a Bible-believing preacher. And get spiritual help to put their marriage back together. Preacher, why do I have so much trouble living for God? Maybe the light of God is not on the inside. Maybe the light hadn't been turned on. You ever thought about that? Amen? Maybe you're a child of children of disobedience. Something to think about. Number five, they were defiled. Verse number three, among whom also we all had our conversation time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of disobedience. As others, we were defiled. Fulfilling. We fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now what's the difference, preacher? What's the difference? Our flesh still wants it. Our flesh still wants the desires of the flesh. Our flesh still wants to do bad things. Our flesh still wants to go the opposite way of God. Our flesh still wants to go and do the things that against what the Bible says. You're right, it does. But the difference is, before you got saved, if your flesh wanted to do something, you satisfied it and you gratified it and you run directly to what your flesh wanted. Now that you're saved, your flesh wants to do something, you turn and do the opposite. You run from it. Somebody asked a little black boy one time, said, how do you know you're saved? He said, because before I got saved, it said when the devil wanted to do something, I'd go run after it. And now that I am saved, the devil wanted to do something, I'd run from it. That's pretty good theology right there. Amen. We were defiled. Amen. Our flesh still wants to do bad things. Listen, let me tell you something right here. I'm going to slow down and tell you this right quick. Everybody still with me? Look up here and pay attention to you, preacher. I'm going to tell you something real important right here. There's nothing wrong. There's three basic desires of the flesh that there's nothing wrong with. There's not a sin. Now, everybody sit up straight and look at me. There's three basic desires of the flesh that's not a sin that God put inside of you. Number one is food. Nothing wrong with eating good food. That's what we're all fixing to do here in about 30 minutes. If our preacher will shut her down, let us go. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. God put that in our body. Give us hunger. I mean, and by the way, these three basic desires are in animals. Basic instinct. Animals don't care nothing about nothing else but these three basic instincts. And these three are three human needs. And God put them in us. It's only when we abuse them is when they become a sin. Food, there's nothing wrong with food. Secondly, sleep. Nothing wrong with sleep. Everybody needs to sleep. You need to go to bed at night. This staying up half the night. Listen, these people stay up all night long on the internet and messing around, gobbling around on the internet, fooling around and messing around and sleep half a day. You need to shuffle your deck and get everything back in order and get your ducks in a row, Jack. You need to go to bed at night and get up. When it starts getting daylight, it's time to get up. God don't mean for people to sleep in the daytime unless you work a third shift job. Amen? I can't even do that. I tried that one time. There's a reason they call that graveyard. That's for dead people. When it starts getting daylight, that means it's time to get up. Night times for sleep, day times for working. There ain't nothing wrong with taking a nap or resting a little bit, but I'm just saying Jesus even took a nap. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm sitting laying around sleeping all day. Lord help. Nothing wrong with sleeping. You need your sleep. Go to bed. I've had people call me before, wrong number, Brother Butch, 3 o'clock in the morning. Hello's Ray Sean there. I said, hey, buddy, this is Brother Ronnie Wilcox, pastor of Grace Baptist Church. What do you want, click? What are they doing calling somebody at 3 in the morning? I started calling. I said, this is Little Willie. I'm sending a couple guys over there. That's what I should have done, shouldn't I? Two of my henchmen's on their way. We traced the call. Calling somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning. You ought to be in bed, boy. 3 o'clock in the morning calling somebody. My name ain't Ray Sean, by the way. It's Rayoni. Amen. That's brother to you. Amen. Nothing wrong with food, nothing wrong with sleep. And thirdly, don't nobody blush, but there's nothing wrong with sex. But my one woman said amen. All the men said amen and grinned. One woman said amen. There's nothing wrong with it. God put it here for us to procreate and so we could populate the world and for pleasure. But it's when you abuse it and turn it into something bad that it's a sin. Listen. Food is not wrong until you turn it into it, until you just, there's a thing called gluttony. Most Baptist preachers don't preach on it because they're 500 pounds overweight. That's all we do is eat. I don't believe in eating at church. I think it's a sin. We ate last Sunday night. We ate this morning. We're going to eat again probably next week. But when you just live to eat, and you live to eat, and you just eat and eat and eat, and that's all you do, and you just turn eating into that's all you ever do. Man, I see them cooking shows. I'm like, why would anybody want to eat like that? Why would anybody want to eat like that? Spend all that money, spend all that time in the kitchen. You spend 2 hours to cook it, and you can gulp it down in 10 minutes. It ain't worth it. Open a can of beans and give me a pack of crackers, and I'm good. Garnish it and make it look pretty. Why? I'm going to devour it and tear it to pieces. Ain't that funny? Ain't it beautiful? Don't it look gorgeous? Not really. I don't care how it looks. Who cares how it looks? That's like taking it to a dog a lot and say, look, Fido. Look, Rover. Ain't it beautiful how I garnished it with these little beautiful pieces of greenery? Ain't it beautiful? Well, it lasted for 2 seconds. Amen. Sleep. There's nothing wrong with sleep unless that's all you ever do. Ron and him used to have a friend up in South Carolina. She'd sleep to 3 or 4 o'clock in the day. Something wrong with that, man. You need to get checked out. Laziness is a sin. Slothfulness. Sleeping all day. Laying around doing nothing. Laying around. God didn't make you get up and get busy and do something. Get your blood pumping. You know, my mama used to tell us we'd wake up and we'd do like this. You ever seen kids do like this? Mom, I don't feel good. You know what they're thinking? You know what it is? I got an arithmetic test today. Don't want to go to school and you don't tell her? And she'd just pop you and she'd say, get up, stir around, you'll feel better in a little bit. You miss that bus and I have to take you, you're really going to get it. That's right. And that's still true. I'm 57 years old, and that's the truth. If you'll get up, stir around, move around, it ain't but 30 minutes. It takes a little bit longer the older you get. You stir around, get the blood pumping, get the juices flowing, do the Michael Jackson. And next thing you know, you start feeling pretty good. You get out and about, get in the car, go to town, greet a few people, and go to the store, get to work. You're all right, you'll live. But if you lay there in that bed, you know what it does to you? Ugh. I feel awful. I'm hurting on my back, hurting on my side, hurting on my hip, my knees hurt. That's because you laid on that side all day. Now you've got to be flipped over. You need a rotisserie. I ain't preaching now. I'm just messing around. But seriously, sleep, there's nothing wrong with sleep. You should sleep, but unless you abuse it. Same thing with sex. The Bible said the bed, marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Fornication and adultery is a sin. I didn't say anything about sodomy. That's just an abomination. That's filthy sickening. Amen. That ain't even sex. That's an abomination. That makes God throw up. Amen. A healthy sex life is good for a man and his wife. Amen. But you know, we need preaching like that. We need it. Those three basic needs, there's nothing wrong with until you start abusing them. You start abusing them. And the last thing I'll say in verse number 3 is we were doomed. We were doomed. Once upon a time, Brother Jeff, I was doomed. If you look down to verse 12, Ronnie, come on to the piano. Look on down to verse 12, and it said there in the last part of that verse, it said that at that time you were without Christ. Do you remember when you were without Christ? Do you remember? Some of you got saved when you were little, and you might not remember this as vivid as the rest of us do. But in the latter part of that verse, it says, having no hope and without God in the world. When you're without Christ, there's no hope for you. No hope. There's no hope in religion. There's no hope in social reform. There's no hope in church life. You can come to church. I've seen people do it. I've seen people come to our church before and I guess eases their conscience and they think, well, you know, I'm doing better. I'm cleaning up a little bit. I'm going to go to church a little bit and take my family to church and everything's going to be okay. But that won't help you. You're still doomed. Here's a good illustration. You know all those illegal aliens that's here, millions of them? They're still not Americans. Even if they got a driver's license, and some of them, they're letting them vote. There was two put on a county commission in a town out in California this week. How messed up is that? They're still illegal. They still don't belong here. That's the same way with being saved. You can go to church. You can get your name on the book. You can get in a baptistry. You can become a deacon or a preacher or anything. Unless you're saved, you're still doomed. You got to get born again. Something's got to change on the inside. That's what that word regeneration means. You get completely changed. And the only way to do that, you say, preacher, how do I do that? You don't do it. It's already been done. All you do is simply, by faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The jailer in Acts 16 said, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip. He said, there's much water here to be baptized. What hindered thee to be baptized? He said, do you believe? He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Took him down the water. What Philip's saying is that water ain't going to do you no good unless you believe. Amen. Baptism ain't going to save you. Amen. He was explaining and preaching Jesus to him. Nothing will get you into heaven, nothing. Jesus said, I am the door. By me can any man go in. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Any other man try to come up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Allah can't get you in. Buddha can't get you in. You say, preacher, I believe we're all going to heaven. We're just going different roads. That don't work either. Every road don't lead to the same place. Common sense tells you that. You can't dig down into the ground with a great big auger and get to the moon. Can you? Common sense. There's one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. Once upon a time I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Jesus came looking for me, found me in my lost condition, picked me up, changed my life completely, did what no other person can do. Oh, how much He loved me so. Aren't you glad He loves you this morning? Let's stand.